Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. After reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Ruffa Conwell, I am still thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds that we seek are found within us, in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to continue to shed a bright light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida. And today, our special guest is none other than Otis Jerome Anderson. Otis Anderson is a native of Palm Beach County and a retired NFL running back. He attended Forest Hill High School, which is located in West Palm Beach, in 1979. He obtained his bachelor's degree in physical education, later was inducted into the University of Miami Sports Hall of Fame and the University of Miami Ring of Honor. That season, he would cap the Giants 39-20 Super Bowl 21 victory over the Denver Broncos. I'm going to stop there and talk about our co-host, because this is going to be another phenomenal show as we bring on our guests and really talk about the fact that has a phenomenal, rich history of many individuals who have graced us with their presence to be a part of this program. So Steve White, Dan Calloway, want to welcome you to the show, and along with Otis, Jerome Anderson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, and we also have Lamarne Stocks, a homegrown.
Yes, thank you.
Person.
Thank you.
And one
thank
of the
you,
best Lamarne. Golfers.
Welcome again to the show.
Our number one female golfer, she just surpassed Michelle McGann last week. So right now, Lamarne, you are number one female from Riviera as a golfer. We're not going to let that get away. But before we go any further, that was not Denver. That was Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He beat the Buffalo football team with all those great players when he won the most valuable player back in 91. So, Otis, of course, you're number 24. You're number 24, but you're still number one in our heart.
No, I appreciate that.
The other day you were out in, I think, Las Vegas. Was that
yes,
out
sir.
There playing golf, or you on a business trip? Give me a little update on that.
I was on a business trip. I started this company called Sign. If anybody's familiar with Cameo, Cameo is a company that get entertainers to give shout-outs to people for either their birthday, anniversary, or whatever the occasion may be. Cameo allow an individual to phone in, speak to a celebrity, and then have a celebrity to do a shout-out for an individual, if that individual want a shout out. So my company is called Sign, and we are similar to Cameo, but what we do differently is not only we allow icons, that's what we call our celebrities, icons. We allow the icons to not only give shout outs, but also give the fan, whomever that may be, an opportunity to have a prize or a gift or a memorabilia from that celebrity with the shout out that would be on a QR code. So we're out negotiating a deal with the NBA legends, and we were in conversation with such guys as Spencer Haywood, Kevin Murphy, Donnell Marshall, Mike Adams. I mean, the list goes on as far as alumni players were, and we were recruiting those individuals to be a part of our new company that will be starting off in September. We launch big in September.
Okay. That's beautiful. I'm glad the next time that happens out there, if the weather is good and the pandemic is down, then I'll be out there hanging out with you. We'll work
Absolutely.
That out later on. What
yes,
I need to talk to you, bring up one of the questions is, when you were, your mother and father, your mother was born in Riviera, right on Center Street then. Emma Jane was the second oldest of the Hall family. And actually, your uncle, mm-hmm. Bubba, was my classmate. We started school in 43. And, of course,
okay.
Pookie was probably there in your family, probably had as much talent as anybody that ever left here. He went off to service,
wow.
and, of course, he went into education. But James Pookie Hall, that was unbelievable, a guy. Tell us a little bit. Around here for years, you were in the second behind your brother Smokey, Marvin. Now, I hate to bring it up because Marvin died while he was in college. He had led his division in running as a freshman, and he had an accident. How did that work in your family and you to go and try to do so many things, not only for yourself, for your older brother? And the way you turned out, you knew one thing, that you and Marvin probably would have been playing in the NFL together. Give us a little highlight about that.
Well, my brother had a vision when we all lived in the project that we would one day leave the project. And by having an opportunity to go off to college, he felt that gave him a better chance of fulfilling that dream of doing that. And like you said, his accident, his sophomore year, which was me being in sixth grade, was how far in difference we were in ages. Became my dream, became my journey, became my goal, and became my vision. So I think with the blessing of him being side by side with me, and sometimes I felt he was even inside of me when I was performing on the field, as I maneuvered my way through junior high school, college, and then off to professional football. So having his goal, his vision, made it easier for me to have a purpose as far as what I wanted to do with myself, and having an opportunity to do it by going to the University of Miami. And from Miami being drafted by the Cardinals, gave me a chance to fulfill his dream. I did get an awakening my rookie season when I was playing against Atlanta Falcons. I remember, I don't know the name of the defensive back, but it was a guy that played against my brother. And we were going in for halftime. The first time I touched the NFL football as a professional, I went 80 yards against the Atlanta Falcons, which was called back, but I did do it. Halftime, this individual played defensive back, was jogging off the field, jogged up close to me and said, "You're good, but you can even carry your brother's athletic supporter." And I kind of like blew my mind when he said that. I was a rookie, had not played any game other than just preseason. And I was like, wow. Well, need to say, ladies and gentlemen, I ended up being a rookie of the year, losing the rushing title to the late, great Walter Payton by 5 yards, and became NFC Conference Player of the Year that same year. So I tell people, I don't know how good my brother was going to be, but I think I did pretty good.
Outstanding. Otis, yeah. Listen, two things. That was Bobby Butler who played against your brother.
Okay.
Wasn't it Bobby Butler from Carver, from Darien? And played defenses, except he's in tune with us right now. Actually, Laverne know of him because he had the Coleman boys on his podcast not too long ago because she called me about it. But let me go back and say this here. I saw every game Smokey played. Now, I still call him Smoke. He could duck up a person in a phone booth. You and him were different personalities on the field. You were bigger, stronger, and everything. But he was shifty. because Smoke never weighed no more than 165 pounds. You see, when you were at Forest Hill, you were one of the biggest running backs that ever played high school and running like a track runner. I need to ask the question here. You and Tiny and your other brother and then Cleo, your father, lived with me in 1979 when we were out in Long Island, New York. I was a golf instructor, and I sent for Cleo. Cleo was, he came out there as a vacation. He had been living upstate New York because I told him, I said,
Rochester.
You got to get back and look
at
the kid. Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of your family was reared in Riviera, I grew up eating off the same tables with them. And because when Emma Jane and Cleo moved down in the project, when your brother got ready to go off to school, Cleo called me and they said help out with Emma Jane to make the decision where Marvin was going to go to school. See, Jake Gaetler made him his number one priority to be the recruit. But your brother did not want to play sit on the bench the freshman year. He was that good. He said, no, I got to play. He said, Mr. Calloway, I got to play. I said, well, you're not going to play if you go to Jake Gaetler with all those people up there in Tallahassee. Because he doesn't play freshmen, not in that running back situation, because he got so many there ahead of him already there in the sophomore and junior year, because he always had a lot, because everybody wanted to go to Florida A&M and play with the Mighty Rattlers. But the way you took care of your family and treated your mother and your sisters or sister, like I know, tell me where did that come from?
Wrap my food to go. Well, you know, Marvin, again, he was so much older than me, and he did things according to what Marvin wanted to do back in the day. And me being young, so I don't recollect a lot of stuff that went on that even his recruiting part of it, I don't even remember that at all. I remember basically maybe two football games that he played in, and I only saw bits and pieces because I was playing little sandlot football myself at those games. So my history of how good he was and seeing him perform are very little. So a lot of stuff has become because people have told me about him and how good he was. But I don't really remember much of his football career at all.
No, I understand that. But because I was there, I refresh you on a couple of things. But what I'm trying to say, Marvin was doing the best to be the big brother. But he also he didn't have anybody to learn from. In other words, when you're the oldest up at the top, it's much harder, man, when you are down at the bottom. Although he died early and you didn't get a chance to enjoy the things that a lot of us saw in him. And, of course, I was Cleo eyes because Cleo wasn't there to be with you all a lot of time because he was working up north. The thing that I'm saying, you took over and was the father, the little brother, the big brother to your mother, Emma Jane, and your siblings. Now, I'm asking you, is that something that you set out to do one day, to look after your family like you did, or did it just was thrown in your lap?
Oh, no. Again, Marvin's dream was that. Marvin's dream was to take care of my mom, and all of us. And again, when he passed, his dream, his destiny became my dream, and my destiny was to do the same thing. So one way or another, I was going to get my mom out of the project and have my siblings have a better opportunity for life. And fortunate for me, football gave me that opportunity to do that, and I was able to do it.
And, see, that's one of the most important things that when I know that you love a microphone in your hand, if you put a microphone in your hand, nobody else is going to get it. And you're going to get that opportunity because I think that's probably the most important thing that you've achieved that you can come back and tell the people in Palm Beach County, and especially in Riviera, because family should be number one. And I know the struggles of life that we had coming out of Riviera, and I think Ann McNeil, the person who put this program together, because we are the people from Riviera. Now, you can be living other places, but it reminds us the hardships that you had to overcome, and there's nothing, no one that I think that started at a level and reached the highest point than you and your family. And I'm just proud to know that I was there with all of your family. There's nobody in your family from the Halls and the Anderson that I don't know and wasn't reared up with. So I will say that, and when we get all everybody together in February, when the homecoming, the banquet, the golf outings, and everything. Now, I need to ask you, every year, how much more time that you have? You may be an Anthony Carter, I know from here, and I know I'm a little prejudiced, and Lamar. All three of you should have been in the Hall of Fame years ago. Lamar had a conversation with me 2 weeks ago. They had all the guys coming back to Cincinnati for something to put a golden name on, what, the Ring of Honor. You already in the Ring of Honor. You everywhere in the Ring of Honor. Once upon a time, you had all the records set up as a running back at the University of Miami. I don't know, was it Edwin James or somebody eclipsed that. But
no, Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson eclipsed it. He was the only guy. I had it for 35 years, and Duke Johnson did it maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, the other thing about that, when anybody number go into the Ring of Honor, that tells me they were just tremendous, and they had to have a good attitude. And you couldn't have been playing if you didn't keep your grades up. So what is the thing that you want the young people to know, that here you are, was reared up in the project, and were from a big family, and nothing deterred you and your family from getting you where you are, because it took a village to get people where you are? Expound on that for us a little bit.
Well, I think not only do you have to have the village, you got to have the prayers from the village, and you got to have mentors in your life. I will say this. Mr. Callaway, a guy by the name of Mel Obradovich, Mr. Miller, Miss Williams, and John and Italy, those individuals were like mentors to all of us that was, one, coming out of the projects, or in low-income, hindered environment, I would say. We all had a dream. And that going back to, I'm going to say, Lamar Parrish, by far, was the one that gave my brother the dream and the desire that he can be a professional. I'm quite sure my brother had a chance to see all the things that Lamar accomplished, and my Uncle Pookie, who was doing in college, and felt that he could maybe do the same and better the situation between all of us. The reason why I call Lamar's name out and we're going to call my uncle name out is because if it wasn't for those two individuals, because those are two in my life that I saw did something with their life, had they not went off and did something with their life, I don't think people like myself, Anthony Carter, Carlos Carson, Ricky, the list goes on when it comes down to Palm Beach County athletes. We all stem from that tree that Lamar Parrish started. And
that is right.
And like the Bible say, you know, go be fruitful, you know? And uh-huh. That's what they did. They allowed us to be seed from that fruit that blossomed. And from Lamar came me, then me came Carlos Carson, then came Anthony Carson. you know, I'm sorry, then came Ricky Jackson after me. So it was like a domino effect of people that were low income environment making a move, making a stand. And these colleges, listen, I mean, it's easy to be an athlete, but it's hard to be a student athlete. It's two things about being successful. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't maintain a certain grade point average to keep you eligible, then you're just somebody who could get on the street. We had mentors who not only pushed us, but made us understand that education was more important than anything else. Because you can get hurt, you can not become those things that you wanted to accomplish, but with an education, they can't ever take that away from you. So we all our goals were not only to be great athletes, but be great student athletes. And that's why in 4 years I was graduated at University of Miami and was able to go off to college and go off to professional football. I think we all did that, and that's what made it important. We had guys like yourself who said, it's okay to be a great athlete, but you need to be a great student as well. And you guys did not allow us to just be just great athletes. We had to maintain certain responsibilities when we went out and played Little League football all the way up to college and then high school and then college and then on the pros. You made sure that we chased that education when we were done, because that's one thing they can't take away from you is that. So you, Mr. Calloway, Ms. Williams, Mr. Obradovich, the Miller brothers, John Ed and Lee out of Pleasant City, you guys were the catalyst that made us understand the importance of being a student athlete, and that's why we was able to be successful.
Well, I appreciate that. For you recognizing the people, because remember when you were in the project and you all had Yabo. I think you were playing for Yabo. And most people wouldn't understand that, but I know Steve would remember that. Yabo stood for Young Afro Brothers of America. And Willie Miller and Robert Miller, the Miller boys, and the other guys from Pleasant City were your coach. But you all didn't even have uniforms.
No, we didn't.
No, you didn't have, because of you and Clark Martin's son, little Clark, Kenneth Martin, both, and at the time you were playing one of the ends and he was playing one of the ends and a running back. I took out of my budget at the Tate gym because we had our stuff, and I made sure because of you and little Kenneth, because of his father was my best friend and he was working right in the gym with me. But I can't tell you how I appreciate one of my best friends that ever lived in this world was Melvin Obradovich. And Nedra Obradovich stayed right in the project with your sister when they were little girls.
Yep.
Now, how did you like that? Is that the reason why you got along with your classmates and everybody? Because you grew up with a white family? Coming and having that little daughter to live in your house when you're all in the project, and Tiny would go down there. Speak about that a little bit.
Well, Mel never saw color, and that was what was great about it during the time. We had just really got into busing, where we were all bused from Roosevelt Junior High and went down to Forest Hill High School for high school. So. But my sister and Nedra Obradovich, they started a relationship back in grade school, you know, where that my sister would spend time with his family off Parker Avenue, and then she would come and spend time with us in the projects. And again, we didn't see color because Mel made sure that we were exposed to everything. And everything meaning how white society lived and some of the things they did. I remember Mel taking me and Joe Wright and some more guys picked us up and took us with his boys down to Lake Worth and Fort Lauderdale to see other football programs and just to see and just take us away to see other things outside of the project. And this was a white man. Back at the time when we were still trying to figure out can we all get along? And he was like, oh, yeah, we all can get along. And he never saw color, and he just gave us a taste of what the world is somewhat today. And we grew. We grew because, you know, I learned, all my friends learned that we had to get along. When we were busted as far as high school, where we were predominantly all whites and blacks, the football players got along, which made the transition for all the other students to be a lot easier because, you know, believe it or not, athletics has a way of soothing and bringing together races, and that's what we were able to do down at Forest Hill. But it was because of early exposure, at least with me and all the guys that lived in the project, through Melo Brennan and his family, saying that there's no color barrier when it came down to kids. And he treated us like he treated his kid. Actually, my Uncle Pookie used to work for him during the summer. And I think Mommy did, you know, sparingly. But yeah, this man became a major mentor with me when I left Forest Hill High School by making sure every Saturday that we played a home game for the 4 years at Miami, he had my mama and his family was at the football game, and we went out to eat after every game. And he made sure that we were there. We were all there. And his kids were there. Doug was there and Nedra was there. Every game, Nedra Bradley was at all my games. And I think Doug was there at most of them. But Mel and his wife, they were there every game.
Well, Dane being the oldest, but Dane was down there
right.
with him. Dane, Doug, mm-hmm. and Nedra. Well, I really appreciate you bringing that up because I ate a many meals at Mel House. And when Letty went back to school to get her doctorate, and then she taught down at FAU after Mel died, that was not anything that happened in the sports world on trying to get jobs for kids that I didn't go to, that Mel wasn't a part of. They used to call us the salt and pepper team to try to make a difference because I know that we were behind in the economy and where we had the low-paying jobs and we need to get all these kids off to college. To be frank with you, I don't think we have enough time to go and have you tell the story. So we may have to have you back, Otis. See, because of, I know out of all the people that I've had, you can talk as long as anybody and get the story over. Your athletic ability and your home training and your love for the people in Palm Beach County and all everywhere you've gone, it's just tremendous. Now, let me, before I put this in Steve's hand and Ann's hand, I need to ask a question. How are you working with, you're supposed to be getting Anthony Carter. We got Ricky. And you're supposed to be getting Lawrence Taylor for the golf outing for the Black History Month the last week of February. Are you on the ball?
It is progress in motion. Mr. Calloway, you know when you're dealing with those individuals, celebrities, should I say, we don't always march to the same beat as others. Some of us, you know, because of reputation and accomplishment, you got to handle them with a little different kind of gloves than you do all the other ones. And Lawrence and Michael, them two individuals, you got to kind of handle them a little differently. So I believe Ricky is working on Michael because his relationship is stronger with Michael than Michael's my frat brother, which we have not had a chance to speak a little bit about that, which is Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. But we haven't had a chance to talk Michael and I about that. But I think Ricky is working on Michael, and LT and I have a lot of business that we have together up here in New Jersey that we're doing. So I believe that might could be a task that could be probably doable around about that time of the year.
Yeah, well, because one thing about it is many tournaments I put on, Lawrence Taylor has always played out there with you all. Even when O.J. Simpson played, when we were down in Fort Lauderdale, I was running a tournament. So, and then George Rogers, out of Carolina. I know that you're the catalyst, and I know that Ricky, the biggest thing would be if Michael Jordan get there. And
yep,
I know if with the golf courses that I got put up, ready to go, and knowing how he want to be out there and outplay you and Lawrence Taylor and Ricky and all of you all got this year high thing of trying to be the best and will be the best. You're not going to back down on anyway. That's what made you all great. That's going to fall in place. But when I get through next week, I will set with get on the phone with Laverne and talk to her and Tina and Ann. We will go put on what is it when you put everybody together on the what is it when we you 14, 15 people be on the line at the same time, but
a
on
group
the computer
call, conference call, Zoom, where we all see each other.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do that in September. Now, Laverne will be heading that up. Now, she's a very busy person, but I've already told Tina I'd rather for Laverne to be putting it up. Let me go back and tell you why it's important. Reverend Henley was on his deathbed, and he sent his family to me to get me to talk to him. And, well, we always did a lot of things together. And Rev said, he held my hand, said, he said, little bruh, he always called me his little brother, and I need you to promise and do something for me. He said, when I pass, I need you to take over the school, R.J. Henley Christian School. That's what you mean, take over. He said, I need you to sit on the board and take my place, because that's the only way it will survive if you get in there, because just like 2 years, I'm at, but 5 years before that, I went and raised him $100,000. I had some friends of mine to give him $100,000. They gave it to the youth recreation, but I said I wanted to go to school. And then we built a new wing over there, new wing on the south side of 28th Street, right across there on 28th. My death wish is that we're going to build a 500 seating capacity of a shelter. When that hurricane comes, it's going to come one day, and it's going to be just tremendously bad for a lot of people in our neck of the woods, right through Singles Island, Palm Beach Garden. If it's ever run through Bahamas and comes straight here, anywhere from a 3 to 5, Singles Island and most of Riviera won't survive. For the build. So if we have our shelter, and somebody said, well, the summer may never come. What you going to do with the shelter? I said, well, you're going to have a soup kitchen. 6 days a week, we will feed the least, the lost, and the left out. And that's what we're scrambling around and doing now. Now, what else are you going to have in there? You're going to have Steve White tutorial program. You're going to have Erza and Ann and all the people who got trades teaching kids how to get a job without going to school. To college. On-the-job training, do all those things like that. But most of all, we'll have a facility that we can have 500 people or more to have our own wedding, our own revival, our own homecoming, the things that we're going to have. We got to go down to the convention center and pay a lot of money to have 500 people when you come down. You've been talking about, you the one gave me the idea about that. You said this over 12 years ago. So, Mr. Calloway, bring us all back together and let us dress up and walk in there. That's our Academy Award. Now, you remember you telling me that?
Yeah. I felt that Palm Beach County need to know their celebrities, their heroes, those people who keep Palm Beach County on the map, from our golfers to our tennis players to our football, basketball, and academic. I think everybody needs to know who those individuals are. And I always felt that we should have some like a Academy Award or an Oscar-type environment where we all dressed up and we all are displayed on stage and people get to appreciate the talent that has come through Palm Beach County, and while we represent Palm Beach County all around the world, because we are pretty much all around the world.
Mm-hmm. So,
that was my idea. You're right, Mr. Calloway. That's what I thought would be nice. All of us dressed up in black tie, and you know, and the women are in nice gowns, and Palm Beach County, you know, appreciate it. You know, I just think we need to know. That's all. I mean,
well, the main thing about it is it's now on the book. On the last Saturday in February, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you're going to be playing golf, and I got the state's attorney going to take 40 of you for dinner. Last week, we had Richard Relford on the show. He has a friend named Richard Stone, and then the Joe DeBruzzo, the tax collector. I want them to show their appreciation. The community voted for them to be in there. Now take these athletes and all these people we're bringing back one evening. It won't be Saturday evening. It'll have to be either Thursday or Friday. But the point is, we need to show Palm Beach County and the world that we got some of the best talent that ever played anything. And then that night, it's all about brilliant and beautiful. That's 14 outstanding women who achieved things just like you've achieved in your world, the sports world, but they're in the business world. See, it's a combination of things. That night will give me, if God spare me, and I'll be 83 years of age, Wednesday coming, August 18th.
Amen.
And if you just get me there, I'll have that microphone, and I haven't made up my mind. I did call Michelle Obama people, but when she said $50,000 and that was cheap, that she'd be the speaker, I hung the phone up. I said, no. Nope. With $50,000, I can feed a lot of kids down here, and I can send kids off to college. I don't believe in that. You know what I told somebody? I always have Otis. I said, if I need somebody to speak, I know I got Otis. I got Ray Robinson.
Yeah.
I can pull some people out of the hat. I'll pull somebody out of the hat. Huh?
Yeah, no doubt. I said, yes, you can, Mr. Calloway. That's no doubt.
Yeah, to get the message over, because each one of you got a message that everybody needs to hear. Now, you will do your job, because LaVon will be in touch with you. You do who you can, if you get one or two. But the only person I really want you to try to work on is really and tell him, because he calls me every now and then, and he got to work that in his schedule, is Derek Hopper. If you can get Derek here. If you get Derek here, and Derek want to come back, because he told me the same thing you told me. Get Derek back here, and we'll go from there. So everybody got to get there, but we're going to set up a Zoom where we'll discuss that, and everybody can do it, and we'll have a more time. Steve.
Is Steve on the line?
Yeah, he might have
Laverne,
stepped away.
Steve
we can go to LaVon. Yeah, he might have stepped away. We can go to LaVon.
Okay, LaVon.
I think my job is to thank Otis Anderson for all of his wonderful accomplishments, and more importantly, I'd like to thank him for just allowing us the opportunity to give back to students in Palm Beach County. Most of you know or may not know, one of the things that we do every year for over the past 14 years is we've honored graduates, high school graduates, with scholarships. The difference between our scholarships is that these kids can apply for the scholarship their freshman, sophomore, junior, and their senior year, thus gaining an accumulation of funds that will allow them to attend the school of their choice. We have given away over $200,000 in the 14 years that we have been in existence. And I'd just like to say thank you, Otis. If anybody is interested in a scholarship, they can go out to ojandersonscholarship.org for more information and for the applications. Applications are due on March the 1st of every year, and we award the scholarships during the month of May.
And Mr. Calloway, let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen, who all are listening. You know, when they say there's a village to raise a kid, let me just say this. The O.J. Anderson Scholarship Foundation would not be anything without Ms. Laverne Starks and the Graham family putting their effort behind this. And, of course, the friend of Ms. Laverne and myself, Mr. Ray Robinson, and Ms. Calloway, has made the 14 years of the O.J. Anderson Scholarship Foundation what it is because of the generosity. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is one man, well, two people, Ms. Calloway and Ray, that has said, I understand the community may pitch in and do this and do that, but I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to make sure that this thing is successful. Every year that I'm living, every year that I'm breathing, was Mr. Robinson vowed to me when he came along way back when, and when we were struggling. Well, not say struggling. We just weren't giving as many scholarships away as we are now. But when he stepped in, with the help of Laverne and the Graham family, the Scholarship Foundation took off to another level, and it has been growing every year since then. And that is because this lady that's on this phone, ladies and gentlemen, she don't ask for a lot. She's one of the smartest ladies I know. She's a professor. She's not only that, she's not only cute, she's brilliant. And you don't get them combination that often, but we got one with her. And I'm just so glad that she's a part of it, along with my family members, which is my sibling and my nieces and nephews, who are also involved with it. I'm just glad that she took a stand and they took a stand, and that's why we're successful. And it's because of the people on this phone and the guy who's not on this phone who has done so much to the O.J. Anderson Scholarship Foundation, Mr. Ray Robinson. So when that's y'all say beautiful. Thank you, O.J., no, we say thank you, Ray Robinson. And yeah, I say it every time I have my tournament. I say it every time I stand up and speak. I tell all them kids, hey, don't be congratulating and thanking me. You need to thank Mr. Robinson because I would have given you scholarship, but it wouldn't have been as many as it is now, and it's because of Mr. Ray Robinson. So, Laverne, thank you for bringing him to us. And also making our O.J. Anderson Scholarship Foundation more productive because of that. Thank you.
My well, the, you know, Laverne, you said 14 years, and of course I was there when you came up with the idea because of the golf tournament that we were putting on, and the guys came down from Michigan and a lot of other places to be a part of that, but. For 14 years to give out over $200,000, that's a lot of money. And
yes, it is.
It's nothing was more important than to have those kids get up there and the way you had it organized and to speak and be involved. Now, one of the kids that you had when she was in the 10th grade, she's now going into her sophomore year at LSU. The girl that I asked Davin. You to talk to.
The what? Davin girl? Is the last name Davin?
Yeah. Deja Harvin.
Deja. Yes.
Deja Harvin. She was so outstanding. You had her when she was in the 10th grade, you started having her and speaking and everything. And one of the things that Otis did, he asked all of them to say something, or at least a committee or someone, to talk about themselves and what their ideas and what are their dreams, and it's just unbelievable. Sometimes we walk out of there with tears when you hear those little kids. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right.
And it costs money because you have to rent. That's another thing. Here we have to rent the hotel, the ballroom to have that every time. Now, what if we had our own place?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's another thing. The Otis Anderson / Laverne Stocks building with Steve White Auditorium. See, everybody got to have the name on something. See, because when time passes, people will never forget the name. You got it? Okay.
Well, you know me. You know me, Mr. Calloway. I don't really care for that. You know,
no,
long as I know
that.
Long as I know that things are being done to make and change lives, that's all matters to me. That's what it all matters with me. You know, when I was given way back, people didn't know I was given, but I was given. And I told my sister them when certain recreation departments needed stuff, they'd call and ask me, and I said, not a problem. But I told them, do not tell that I was doing it. So I'm not saying that now, ladies and gentlemen, to toot my horn or anything like that. What I'm saying is people like Mr. Robinson, he don't ask for publicity. He care less about people knowing that he does this. He does it for the generosity of his heart. But I'm just saying, because what he means to me and what he means to the O.J. Anderson Scholarship Foundation is the reason why I bring his name up. And that's probably the same reason why Mr. Calloway bring his name up as well. You don't find many gift-giving angels in the world that will give out of their pocket like he did and does. So, again, you know, Palm Beach County, you know, y'all need to wake up and understand what Mr. Calloway is trying to do and the difference he's trying to make in Palm Beach County. There's a lot of other counties around the world or country that don't have as much talent that we have and had to come through there that has not been acknowledged. We need to wake up and give all of the dignitaries their justice.
Yeah.
Because
we got to say thank you. We got to do that.
Yeah.
Let me say this here. Where's Ann? Ann?
Right. Yes, sir. Right here.
Okay. You know, it's time for you to make your comment.
Well, I mean, listen, I am spellbound. I mean, LaVon, we've had on the show, and a phenomenal individual, and definitely a great golfer, but so many other greats. And I would be remiss if I didn't say a shout-out to my other sister from another mother, her sister, Dr. Ravona, I'll call her, give her her props. But this has been another phenomenal show, and I think that what we're continuing to hear is, and I keep going back to the words of Russell Conwell in Acres of Diamonds, the book, the fact that we have all traveled around the world, and it's the home, it's the home that we find the diamonds, and we've just been pressed, pressured, challenged, struggled, and all of those things. But what Riviera Beach has given so many of us is like a diamond, you know, diamond find that we're finding within ourselves to be the very best that God has blessed us to be. And OJ, I've not had the pleasure of meeting you, but definitely we all have one person in common, and that's definitely Mr. Calloway, and that's why we're here. So I'm just so excited to be just a pawn, if you will, on the chessboard of life, being willing to come back and give back in whatever small way possible. So that's it for me, Mr. Calloway. I'm just excited to be here.
Okay.
Really.
But now, are you back with Miss Stevie? Steve?
No, okay. I think he's. He's in.
Well, let me say this here, because we come into an end, but Laverne, I will talk to you next week.
Okay.
I will talk to you next week, and I tell you what I really want to do. When putting this, well, we can Zoom with all, see, OJ is going to call and get in touch with Derek, and I'll be kind of calling Derek. See, right now, Derek is not busy because the Dallas Mavericks is not really playing.
Yeah.
They're going to go into training soon, but we have to worry about him traveling with the team because he's a color commentator. But we got to get everybody back here. We got to. And I need to know a lot about who's coming, because we got to – numbers mean something. How are we going to handle this and how are we going to handle that, especially with the golf outings and setting up where every evening I got to have a place to feed the guys, feed the people. I got to have that. I got to have that, whether that at the marina. I know I'm going to be able to feed them every night. They know they got a meal, a good meal in. Now, sometimes, and then when at certain golf courses, right after when the outing, we're going to try to get having them to have our lunch there or whatever it is. I'll be working on all that. But I need to have everybody online and the people behind the closed doors, like the staff here with Steve and Ann and Tina and Laverne. We are the people who, and the youth recreation. See, all this is under the youth recreation. 57 years I've been doing that. Herman McCray is dead. Don Wilson is dead. And Clark Martin is dead. See, therefore, I'm all alone, and I'm the oldest of that. And I'm not going to be dumb to think I'm going to be living forever. The torch got to be passed on, and it's time for us to recognize all these people who gave up a lot and made us look good. And Otis, I can't thank you enough, because you and Lamar have never. And I remember when you started playing with when you were at the Cardinals, you and Anthony and what the little baseball player I put in Tim Raines. Tim Raines was the Montreal Expos asked me to take him under my wing because he had gotten out there with some drugs after thing. And I called you, Anthony, and Derek Hopper, because all of you all about the same age. And I think you all still talk to each other. Wonderful.
I saw Tim in St. Louis.
Well, if you he always called me the sergeant. You tell him the old man is saying hello. Yeah, he's from Stanford, Florida, but he was one of us. And you did.
Yeah.
You used to go out to Palm Beach Garden and play basketball, and just to take care of him. He was the one that everybody had to look after in a strange place. He played for the Montreal Expos. Now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
But anyway, Otis, we will, as long as I got Laverne. I know I can all, but you didn't call me back when she called you in Las Vegas, because you know, normally you
she
always
did. She,
call me back.
She got me. Yep, she got me. I did.
I
talked to her, and I told her, I said, I'm going to call Mr. Calloway right back, and I forgot. And Laverne was like, you know you better call Mr. Calloway. I said, I know it. So when she hit me up with this podcast, I said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to be on here. So I said, Vern, just let me know. Hit me up. So I put it in my phone. I was on the golf course. I told my phone to ring so that it would let me know that something was going on. And to the good grace, I looked at my phone, and I looked down, and Laverne, as usual, had sent me a text that, okay, you need to be on the call. So just like Laverne has always been there for me, she is at it again. So, Laverne, thank you, because Mr. Calloway would have got me about this one here if I didn't get on. So,
well, I appreciate all of you all. And the main thing about it is this going to be a big – this may be the biggest thing Palm Beach County has ever had. And not only that, see, I'm setting up with the state's attorney to give some of his time and said thank you all, because look all the time you put on clinics here. Look all the time you talk to the inner-city kids about saying that help out with the law enforcement. And the city of Riviera League's going to open his arms out here to help out here. Because this is our 100th year, Otis. Starting September, a couple of weeks from now, we'll start from September to September, 100 years, and I got 83 of them. I got 83 of them. And Bone on this avenue. Well, anyway, my last word, I'm just glad that we all going to put this together. See, I'm depending on a group. It's a village. We got to put our heads together and make this work. Everybody put their 5-10% in it. And so
we're
going to
do it.
Think? Okay, then.
We're going to do it. All right, then. All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're going to wrap up the show and just let everybody know that you have been listening to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And our special guest today was none other than Otis Jerome Anderson, better known as OJ, another OJ from Riviera Beach. Thank you for listening, and we will see everybody next week, same time, same place, Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at I Am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Everybody have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you, and goodbye.
All right,
okay.
Goodbye.